Well, we're gonna talk briefly here for a minute about video games from the late 70s. Do you remember any video games from the late 70s, Rob?
Destroyer?
Yeah.
Defender? Decimator?
No, those were from the early 80s. I'm talking about from the late 70s.
Asteroids? We called it hemorrhoids. Dude, just go play roids.
I guess before Asteroids and after Pong...
Centipede?
You had Space Invaders.
Ms. Pac-Man?
Remember Space Invaders that had all those little dudes going all across it? You had a little gun at the bottom.
We had a spaceman. We had Space Invaders on Atari, dude.
If I recall, Space Invaders might have been the first arcade video game.
It was the first video game.
It was all the big craze in 1979.
Still a good game. I remember enjoying it.
Well, in 1980, a guy came out with a song. A song dedicated to all those athletes who triumphed at the game Space Invaders. It was by Uncle Vic from downtown Elyria, Ohio. And Uncle Vic's song, Space Invaders, goes a little bit like this. You might remember it was a big hit on Q102 back in the day.
Well, there it is in the corner of the bar. I tried to run, but I didn't get far. Those weird little men, I'll blow them away. I'd sell my mom for a chance to play.
His brain is cut. He's hooked. His brain is cut.
They start off slow, but they don't play clean. It's tricky and low. It's a mean machine. There's lots of them and one of you. When the walls are gone, they'll get to you.
He's hooked. His brain is cut. He's hooked. His brain is cut.
Shoulder in awe. They don't believe what they just saw. You slid to the left and slid to the right. You're the Space Invaders king tonight.
He's hooked, his brain is cut. He's hooked, his brain is cut.
Comes over your hand. Row by row, you're in command. There's one last devil moving real fast. One single shot got him at last.
Uncle Vic with Space Invaders, the Chris and Rob Show. I'm Chris.
I'm Rob,
WAIF. Cincinnati, Ohio. Hello, Uncle Vic.
Hello, Cincinnati.
That's one hell of a number you did there about, what was it, 18 years ago with Space Invaders.
1980. I can't believe it's still popular.
Did you used to play Space Invaders back then? You must have.
Yeah, that's why I wrote the song, because I played the game. And one night I was playing the game, and the music on the game is going like boom, 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 boom.
Right.
So I started like singing along with it. A couple of my friends were standing next to me, and they said, why don't you write a song about this? So I went to an all-night restaurant, sat there and wrote a song on a napkin with my friends. We recorded it a couple days later, and then 3 days after that, it was on the radio. I used to have a radio show of my own in Cleveland.
Hey, you're from Elyria, right?
Elyria, Ohio. And that's how it got started. And then we heard that it was big in Cincinnati, but we never dreamed it would be that big down there.
No, I remember being in high school. It was about 1980. Queen, the Game, had just come out, and Another One Bites the Dust was a big hit with that backwards piano track.
Yep.
And every Sunday night, they had the top 10 countdown on the new killer Q102. And I guess some weeks, enough people would call in and Queen, the Game, or Queen, Another One Bites the Dust would be number one. And some weeks, Space Invaders was number one.
There was a time in Cleveland where it was actually the largest selling single over any other single in like 25 record stores at that time.
Bigger than Michael Stanley Band.
Yeah, well, I grew up listening to Michael Stanley. I love some of his music, but he got mad at me that summer because I beat him out.
Well, how did you get the sounds, the missiles firing, and how did you get the game sounds?
We recorded them off the game, the little speaker at the top of the game. When you play in a bar, there's a little speaker there with a noise. We took a cassette recorder and recorded the sounds on a little cassette and then played it in the studio on a certain track. We would raise up the slide and the sounds would be on that track or whatever.
Well, you've got a bar that you own in Elyria, Ohio, called Uncle Vic's, right?
Yeah, I'm still working there. That's how I make my living now.
Who are you an uncle to?
No, I'm an uncle to all my fans.
All right. So you got a bar in Elyria. How long have you had that bar?
22 years.
So you had that bar when the Space Invaders first came out?
Yeah, it was a trip when it came out. We started drawing bigger crowds to the bar just because I was the one that sang the song. It was really weird.
Now, it's 1998 now. Space Invaders is prehistoric compared to some of these hotshot video games now with the high-tech psychedelic graphics, and they move and everything when you play them, and there's a lot of death and blood and gore. But do you still have an original Space Invaders game in your bar?
No, we don't.
But why not? You're Uncle Vic.
I know. I don't have one. I should have it.
You should go get one.
I wrote another song about Pac-Man a little while after Space Invaders, but two guys named Buckner and Garcia from Nashville, Tennessee, had a song called Pac-Man Fever.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that.
It wasn't all that great, but it beat me to the punch, you know? They had it out before I had mine out.
I remember I was in a ninth grade talent show, and the act before us was some little sixth grade dancers dancing to the Pac-Man song.
Yeah.
If anybody wants to call in and talk to Uncle Vic, the phone number is 961-8900, 961-8900 to call into the Chris and Rob Show and Uncle Vic.
Uncle Vic, you got any stories about people coming up to you and saying, hey, Uncle Vic, I lost my virginity to that song?
Yeah, I've heard that one.
No way.
I've heard that one. And I've heard people that got divorced because of it, because it made... This girl actually told me that her husband went to the bar to play Space Invaders after he heard the song. She didn't like him going to bars, so she divorced him. So I was responsible for her divorce.
Well, I want to hear about the guy who got laid to that song for the first time.
Well, that was me.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Uncle Vic, believe it or not, you do have a fan on line two. We're going to talk to Gary. Hello, Gary.
Hey, what's up, Chris and Rob?
You're on with Uncle Vic, Gary.
Hey, Uncle Vic, what's up, bro?
Gary, how you doing?
Pretty good, and you?
You remember that song, huh?
Yeah, I sure do.
How old were you when it was out?
Probably 11 or 12 years old.
Wow.
I used to play that game on Atari when that song was on.
What was your high score, Gary?
I couldn't even remember.
Well, on Atari, you could get it to the point where you would never lose. You could
yeah,
just,
I know.
You
just
play
keep
the
on
endless game.
You turn it over at eventually. Wouldn't that game turn over eventually?
Well, it'd flip over like 100,000, and and if you got good enough, you could never lose.
Yeah, how many levels did that game have?
I honestly, guys, I think I came home from school one day, and I played it until, like, it was on a Friday, I think it was, because I was up until, like, from the time I got out of school, and I was still playing the same game until like around midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning.
Gary, you were a very industrious young man, weren't you?
Well, of course. I mean, you know, yeah, both Space Invaders. It's a classic.
Gary, have all the years of hard drugs taken their toll?
I don't know yet. I'm still trying to find that out.
No, well, what else do you have to say to Uncle Vic, Gary?
Being that, honestly, Christopher Rob, the reason I was calling tonight was because being that the video game to, you know, is on the rise with the Nintendo 64 and the Sony PlayStation, being that Uncle Vic wrote a song about one of the original video games, I just wanted his opinion. What's the better system, Uncle Vic, the Sony or the Nintendo 64, and why?
I like the Sony. It has quicker response.
Right on. And do you like the graphics better?
No.
No.
But it has a quicker response to make it a truer game, you know.
So you like the quicker response on the game. What's your favorite game in 1998?
Oh, I wouldn't know. I used to like one called Asteroids. It came out with a remake recently of Asteroids, where you blow up these little asteroids.
You blow up rocks and you turn around in all directions.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
You can hit hyperspace if you're really panicky, but that just means death.
That's an old game, though, Uncle Vic. Are you kind of old school when it comes to video games?
Yeah, I'm not up on a lot of the new ones.
Thanks for your call, Gary.
Thank you.
All right. We got a line open. If anybody wants to call and talk to Uncle Vic, the line is 961-8900. You still there, Uncle Vic?
You know, I was told that Cincinnati record sales were like the second highest next to Cleveland.
It's because of Q102, brother. Mark Sebastian used to play that thing every Sunday night.
Every Sunday?
Yeah, he'd be picking the pus out of his acne, and then he'd play Space Invaders.
Do you have Dr. Demento on the air down there anywhere?
I don't think so.
No, not currently.
When he was on in like 300 different markets, and he played Space Invaders every week for a long time, and that exposed me to a lot of cities that didn't have the record.
Well, did the record go gold?
No, it never did. I think it sold a lot. I think I got ripped off by the record company.
What a surprise.
I made maybe $8,000 or $9,000 total from the whole deal.
That ain't bad.
Well, they were selling for $1.49, and the record company later told me they sold in excess of 200,000 of them.
Then you got songwriting royalties coming in.
Yeah, I had
that. You
got
airplay royalties coming in.
Right, but when I signed it over to a company called Prelude Records.
Oh my gosh, here we go.
They took the they took the money and gave me like 11 cents per record or whatever that they called it points. And it was points per song. So I never really got the full money that was coming to me.
Well, you know what Prelude Records did to Little Richard? Well, we'll leave that for another conversation.
Okay.
So did you ever do any other recording besides Space Invaders, and then there was a B-side called Ode to Slim we'll play in a little bit. Did you ever do any other recording besides that?
Oh, yeah. I've done about 25 or 30 recordings.
Are they released?
Yeah, a lot of them were released in Cleveland because I had a radio show on a major station.
Which one?
98.5. It was called WGCL.
Uh-huh.
Called it G98. I had a Sunday night radio show, which enabled me to take a lot of my compositions and actually play them on the air the next day. I had the boss's permission to play my tunes.
That's not a bad deal.
That's a real good deal. I wish I had that now.
Well, you're going to have to ship me and Rob some of your other records because the Space Invaders is the only one we got.
Okay.
And is that you singing with the, I had to run, but I couldn't hear it? Is that you? It doesn't sound like you at all.
Yeah, that was me.
Do you sing like that on all your records?
No. That was the voice I used for that one.
What inspired that particular character to give voice to your Space Invaders? What was your inspiration for that insight?
I don't know. It's just the voice that came to me when I went in the studio to sing it. The guy, I sang it one time through, and the engineer said, it doesn't sound gruff enough, man. Vic, put on your gruff voice. So I put it on, and they liked it.
Can you talk to us in your gruff voice?
Hey, man.
He sounds like, who's that guy from the Muppets? That cool jazz saxophone player from the Muppets.
There it is in the corner of the bar.
Oh, you made my day.
Sounds like it.
Now, you got a new record coming out, right, Uncle Vic?
Yeah, the Cleveland Blues. It's a song about Cleveland done in a blues fashion.
Okay, and you're going to send us a copy? We'll play it in a couple weeks?
Yeah, sure will.
All right. Now, we're going to let you go here, but we want to hear about when Space Invaders came out, you had to put something on the other side. The other side was Ode to Slim. Tell us a little bit about the song Ode to Slim.
I was so anxious to get the record pressed up that as a matter of fact, it was pressed in Cincinnati at a company called QCA.
Yeah, Queen City Audio, baby.
Right.
Still
they,
around
they,
to kick him.
They pressed up the record for me. I sent them the reel-to-reel tape by Federal Express. They got it the next morning, and they called me up and said, well, this is great. It sounds good, but what do we do for the B-side? And I said, oh, my God, a B-side. I didn't even think of that. It completely slipped my mind. So I went down to the bar underneath Uncle Vic's, which is Mardi Gras downstairs, put a guitar and an amplifier in there and put a microphone up and told the crowd that I'm making a record right now, so just react to it and make as much noise as you can. We're going to record this live right now. We turned on the tape recorder, and that's what you hear. That's it.
So, Uncle Vic, you're kind of the original lo-fi, do-it-yourself guy that gave rise to Gotta Buy Voices and some of the other no-nonsense, no-frills, four-track bands.
Yeah, lo-fi. I like that. That sounds good.
Okay, well, we're going to play Ode to Slim here, but on the way out, you know what a segue is. You know what taking it to the post means, right?
Right.
So we want you to put that Space Invaders voice and say something to the effect of, you're listening to Chris and Rob on WAIF, or this is Uncle Vic, and I love Chris and Rob on WAIF, or something like that.
I love Chris and Rob on WAIF radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Mardi Gras in downtown Elyria, Ohio. This is a song called Ode to Slim. Well, I was watching my TV late one night. A record commercial came into sight. A man I'd never seen before came walking through a barnyard door. Now, day after day, I saw his face. Now no one can take his place. When he sings Una Paloma Blank, I take $7 out of the banker. He's our hero. He's touched our heart. Yeah, he's our hero. He's touched our heart. Oh, Slim. Oh, Slim. You've touched our heart.